Lord, we embrace you this morning. We embrace you. 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 Your blood is so, so powerful. One drop of blood finished everything. Presence of the Mighty One can bring us to our knees. Only the presence of the Mighty One can stir those inner chambers. Only the presence of the Mighty One touching us. Our response to Him and His touch breaks us into a new place, sends us into a new realm, a new place, a new dimension. It's not about programs, Lord. It's about your presence. Wow. Wow. Yes, Lord. We exalt your presence. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The 300 in Gideon's army were a small bunch compared to those surrounding. But those were weeded out from the masses because they would bend the knee and they would drink. And the drinkers were picked to be the small, mighty force that grew and grew and grew and carried such weight that the enemy was easily plundered because of the great wisdom and the great majesty and power released. Oh, we exalt you, Lord. We exalt you. We exalt you, King Jesus. We exalt you, O Burning One. Wow. Cloud by day and fire by night. Oh, 24/7 presence of the Lord. The front rear, the front guard, the rear guard. Oh. Oh,
holy, 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 you are holy, 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 you are holy, 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 you are holy, you are holy, 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 you are holy, you are holy, 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 you are holy,
Lord, you are holy.
Well, I saw a picture just as Jamie was starting to sing Nothing But the Blood. It was the same picture I saw when it was sung during worship at about 3:30 in the morning or so at our all-nighter. And it was a picture of the Lord. He was riding over a hill, and it was Lord Jesus, and he was in this beautiful suit of armor on this white horse. And he had, underneath the suit of armor, you could see that he had a tuxedo on, and he was riding toward us, and I saw this picture of this beautiful bride, and a picture that I've seen in the past and we've heard about here, that the bride was wearing these really awesome studded combat boots. And King Jesus, it was Jesus the warrior, that something in that song, as soon as she started singing it, there was a shift in my mind immediately. And it was like my mind was completely captured by the greatness of God, by the power of God, by the might of our Lord Jesus. And it was like, in an instant, everything in my life and that I'm thinking of and contending of for this church and our nation, it became so easy to think about, because I saw just how powerful the Lord is. And he hoisted the bride up on the back of his horse, and they rode off together. And I saw the same picture now. And you know, Jesus, when he shed his blood, it was all finished at the cross. It was all paid for. He did it all. He is a victorious warrior. And we are his bride, and we are a victorious bride. And in an instant, it was like, even the way I felt when I was praying changed, because it was just this infusion of authority and power and confidence in the Lord Jesus. That we contend in prayer. Yes, it can be a struggle against the forces of wickedness and the second heaven and all that, but at the end of the day, it's easy for him. It's easy for him. And there's times in prayer we need to have that mindset that it's easy for him, no matter what our struggle is, no matter what. Every negative thought, it's like, went out of my mind in that instant, because I saw just how strong and how powerful he is and how in love with his bride that he is. And so I just believe this morning, an even deeper revelation of who we are as his bride, how that positions us. And how we need to rise up into who the Lord's called us to be. Because we are that bride in combat boots, you know? We are wildly in love with the one who rescued us out of darkness. We're wildly in love with him. We are so in love with him and so confident in his ability that he's already done it all, that he's finished it all, he's paid for it all, and that he's with us, that he's for us. God is for us. God is for us. He's on our side. He's on our side. Every little struggle to the biggest struggle, he is on our side. But he calls us to be watchful and to pray and to spend the time and to to spend the time. Lord, we just honor you this morning that you are our reward, Lord God, that you are our groom, that you are the love of our lives, Lord, and you are a mighty warrior, Lord, and we love you. We are your bride this morning, Lord. Father, just thank you for the honor of the calling that you've given us, Lord. Lord, just wreck our hearts this morning for you. Take us back to our first love, Jesus. Take us back to our first love, Lord, where nothing matters but you. Just encourage you to remember this morning what he's rescued you out of. No matter where you feel like you are right now, the Lord, if you know Jesus in your heart, has rescued you out of the kingdom of darkness. Positionally, you have been rescued out of the kingdom of darkness. Just thank you, Lord, for that. PMP, go. We just had a really amazing, powerful time on Friday night for the Watch of the Lord. So much was accomplished that night. I was so blown away. One of the things that really stayed with me and struck me was when we spent probably an hour and a half just really praying and contending for our nation, praying into our leadership, the new leadership that's to come post-election, praying into foreign relations. The Lord gave us like these incredible strategies and just how to pray and contend for everything that's happening with the election and with abortion and foreign policy and all these strategies that were brought to light just in terms of the safety of our nation, national security issues, just really praying into that, really seeing the Lord's strategy, really igniting in heart to stand for life and to stand for the Lord's very best. It was amazing. It was really amazing. Let's see, what else did we do? We walked our land. I don't know, how many people did we have, Troy knows, or Dylan? 35 people that were at one time that were walking our land. So I got there kind of toward the middle of it, but I mean, just walking the property, the things that the Lord was revealing, pictures that he was showing us, visions, just dedicating everything that the Lord's doing here. And Troy pointed out that it was our last watch of the Lord, right? The last watch of the Lord where we were praying into the finalizing of the funding for our building. For the testimony, but... Huh? Okay, so our last, not this past watch of the Lord, but our last one, we announced that the money that we needed to pay off the building. And so we were going after it in the Spirit and praying for it, and then... I believe Friday was the day that we closed, or it was the deadline, and all the money had come in. So the Lord brought, I mean, he answered our prayer. It was amazing, you know, from one watch of Lord to another. And I mean, we had healings. I believe Stephanie got healed that night. Chris, you said you experienced some relief in your body and some healing. And who else got healed at Watch of the Lord? Just those two? I mean, it was amazing. I think Stephanie at the end said her knee was completely healed or something, right? I can't even find you, but where is she? Well, anyway, so we had healing, we had awesome prayer, we had amazing worship. What else did we do? Yeah, it was just an incredible time, and I think it was about my 28th hour without sleep, and the Lord, he was so gracious. I was so, so energized. So very end, I started to get a little sleepy, but I was trying. The Spirit is very willing, but the Lord, I mean, he's still, you know, he sustained me. I didn't fall asleep here totally, and it was just a really amazing time. I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm kind of captured right now. What else? What else do we do? We prayed for, well, one of the things that I saw, again, was just what the Lord's doing in terms of drawing people here. I really believe that we are in that season of harvest. To just keep contending that those people that you want to come, you know, from whatever age group to whatever age group, all the people that you've been contending for to come to our church, I mean, they're coming. I saw it in the Spirit. So many of us have seen it in the Spirit. And just as the Lord brought to completion the paying off of this building, he's going to bring to completion the mighty harvest that he wants to bring in here. So just keep contending that for this season. We're going to see him at retreat. We're going to see him at our conference. There's going to be a lot of new people here. So we need to, as a bride, make ourselves ready for that because they're coming. And that's really exciting.
I asked Michelle to share... she powerfully in intercession, excuse me, and I know she's a seer, and there are many people in this body who move powerfully in intercession and see, but you see, an intercessor is someone who is praying, who's really going after it, and it doesn't necessarily mean you're locked in your closet 20 hours a day. So the Lord's calling us all to watch and pray, and he's calling us all to seek him, ask him what his focus for us would be. It's not how much time we spend. It's whether we are considering ourselves in this capacity. And then he will move us along. He will say, move forward. He definitely will. Yes, last week when Pastor Bill and I were sharing about the miracle of the provision coming in, a sizable amount of money that we just stood and waited and expected, but moved forward in taking steps for what that would look like after, without money. And so Pastor Bill last week shared a little bit about the Red Sea, and thank you, and about the Red Sea parting, and how the Lord spoke to Moses and said, why are you crying out? Tell them to move forward. Tell them to go. And when they did, against all the odds, with the Egyptian army right on their tail, they still had their cloud of fire and cloud of just their cloud. But it was all night long that the Lord said, as you stand, watch what I will do. I will part the Red Sea. Many of us have had miracles like that in our own life. I actually had someone in the educational system, a dean of a college, challenge me and say, Your son will not attend this college unless you had a miracle like parting the Red Sea. There is a waiting list of 500 some. And I looked him in the eye lovingly, kindly, and said, my son will attend. I am standing for a miracle of the parting of the Red Sea. Would you like to join me? And within a very short time, received a letter that he was in. That's not arrogance. It's knowing our God and standing and say, God, what can I do? He said, move forward, prepare, advance. And that's the upside down kingdom, and that's a big deal. So when he calls us to watch and to pray, it's not for just those few people who come. It's for us. And so my desire is for you to ask the Lord in your own prayer time, am I a watchman on the wall, and what can I do? I'm asking you to consider that before the Lord. Because I believe that the Lord is taking us, and already has because we've stepped into it, to another place. You can feel it in worship. You can sense that. And I will tell you, and take this as a blessing, your children need to be seen in heaven as worshipers, as true worshipers. For what's coming and what they're going to face way beyond what our world looks like right now, that is what is going to bring them into the place of wisdom and understanding more than anything. Moses was a worshiper. And the reason that the Lord chose him, he chose him before the foundation of the world, but the reason he chose him in the burning bush when he talked to him is because he turned and he looked. And when the scripture says in Exodus 3 that when Moses turned and he looked as a watchman, that's when the Lord said, here I am, Moses. I am. This is who I am. Now you can see me. Wow. So any of us who want our eyes opened, we want to see our children step into what they were designed to be participating in this season. This is a great place because there's a place of freedom here. I would encourage you, all parents of all children, that you would pray together. If you're a single parent, talk to the Lord and draw your children up here and worship with them. Teach them. Model this. The Israelites wandered for 40 years. We don't want to be that way. And so I really, really believe with all of the words that have been spoken that God is up to something extremely intense and serious. It's a big deal, a big, big deal. But my understanding of what a big deal is, your understanding of what a big deal is, it really doesn't matter. It's what he says. And if my understanding, Pastor Bill's understanding of big deal, is at least what we feel we know to this part, up to this point, hold on to your socks. I mean, this is going to be something. And the Lord is saying, I want to grow you exponentially because I am an accelerator. When we were in bed last night, my husband and I were talking. And we started laughing and couldn't stop. It went on for at least a half hour of hilarity, of roaring in the spirit. I mean, you would have thought, I don't know what you would have thought, but it was crazy. More than a half hour. I mean, that's at the minimum. And we just couldn't stop. And we weren't telling jokes, you know, funny thing. Hey, did you hear the one about? It was a drunken in the spirit, tangible outpouring. We've had these moments before, but last night was just another fun level. I'm telling you, God is up to something. Don't push him down. Don't push him down. Don't push him down. Worship with abandon. Save the things that you like to take care of, all your business. Save them. for another time. Worship, 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 worship. Be the leaders. So when the ones come in who are trying to figure life out, they're going to, when they come and they see this place, they're going to see, I don't understand it, but there's something going on. Worship at home and worship here. And when you seek the Lord, am I a watchman, a watchwoman, whatever you want to call. Bible says watchman, but I'm a woman, so. It looks like something. And it will take shape. Anybody with me on this?
Yeah.
If you're not with me, think about it, would you? Because I'm telling you, it's really significant. And your life will change dramatically, dramatically, with an agreement in the spirit with what he's saying about worship. It's really true. And watching and praying, what that looks like. It's really, really something. When we walked out on the land on Friday night, there was this holy fear, this awe of God. So, so powerful. I thought, Lord, I can barely stand out here. This is mighty. This is a mighty demonstration of you. And the words were flowing out of people. And we recorded it. Sightings, heavenly sightings, and words of destiny that affect you and me, whether you were there or not. That's not the issue. I'm just reporting to you. Not a cute little missionary report. This is, I'm telling you, this is reality. It's significant, significant. And so the Lord is really challenging us right now. He is challenging us to go forward, and he's challenging us to stomp on the distractions. Stomp on the distractions. Stomp on the distractions. And there are many. There are many, many, many. I'm telling you, this is what Moses understood, and he was trying to convey to his people. And he had to have others lift his arms up, Aaron and Hur. Because it's a significant thing. When we're singing about the blood of Jesus, woo! There's an awesome fear. It's not just a nice song. So I'm excited to be in this house. I'm excited to be with all of us together. And I'm excited with all the children that we have here and what's going to happen today. Because we're transitioning into our new school year, so to speak, for Kingdom Land. And we're going to release the children after Tom shares a little bit about FTC, if you'd like to, before all the teachers leave. We have an incredible group of teachers and assistants. We had an amazing meeting on Thursday that really raised the bar for the vision that God has for the teachers, for the children, for the young adults who are Kingdom kids as we are. So Tom's going to share right now. Just a little bit. Because it's part of this vision, part of this ship.
Thank you very much. So we have a new list of courses set up for Frontline Training Center. And they look really good. Really, really awesome stuff. If you're not a part of Frontline Training Center, but you would like to be a part of the training center and participate in these courses, then please see me right after service today, or you can pick up one of these sheets and you'll find a link to the application process there on the sheet. So for School of Worship, is Josh here today? I didn't see Josh. No, okay. So he's going to have two imparties, one at the end of this month and one in November. If you are on the worship team and you're in the School of Worship, then you will be at imparty because that's part of your whole experience, and he'll tell you more about those. Both of those happen on a Sunday. And Carl is going to be leading a group on live sound reinforcement, learning how to work the soundboard in the back. If you're interested in that, please see Carl. And Jamie is going to be doing a supernatural vocal artistry. Where's Jamie? Jamie? Yeah? And she hasn't set up dates and times for that, so if you're interested in learning vocals from Jamie, then please see her after service, and then she'll go ahead and see who's interested in that. She'll put together some times and places for you to meet. And Pastor Bill is also going to be helping Jamie with that whole process. So, man, that you got to go for that. Even if you can't sing, go for that, because that's going to be really cool. Really cool. Pastor Bill is going to be teaching a new course that we're all looking forward to called Encountering Abba. This starts the 20th of September. It's a Thursday night. It will meet four Thursday nights, roughly every other Thursday night or so. Pastor Bill, do you want to say a quick word about that?
You know, I was thinking while the song was up there that he places the stars in the sky and he knows them by name. You know that before we had the name of the stars that we have now that the astronomers gave, there were the names that God gave to the stars. Now, I'm not privy as to what those are, but I know one thing. They spelled across the sky the gospel. And every one of them were significant in that knitting of the gospel across the sky. There's actually books on it that explain what the stars were named, how the gospel was spelled out before we had the astronomers step in and say, well, it was this constellation, and you look up there and you go, huh? Before that, it was clearly across the sky, the gospel. Friday night, most of you might know better than I do, but there was a blue moon, a rather unusual event, and we're going around on the land and praying for the land. There's still a connection from what he's created above and what he's doing on the earth below in us. I think that's kind of fun. It's kind of cool. I don't understand it all, but it's just kind of great and cool. Oh, ah. Encountering Abba. I just think that if he knows the names of the stars in the sky, he certainly knows the names of each of you. And he's concerned about every detail. He knew he was there. He was participating when you were formed in your mama. Daddy was there. Abba was there. He was instilling certain things in you so that they could seed that would come to fruit later. And that's the now. And you can step into that at any time. So I want to explore that some as it come to the class are involved in that, and you'll probably hear some things and messages and so on for those that don't attend the class. But I would say you should attend the class because you're going to, well, it's, what's the name of it? Encounter Abba. We're not just going to talk about him. We will, I'm trusting, encounter him in a new way. How many are up for that, whether you're in the class or not? Come on. Just raise your hand if you don't even know what I'm talking about. Yeah, go for it. High, you know, double hands. Put up 2 feet. Yeah. No, it's too bad you're seated. It'd be more fun if you weren't put up 2 feet. So we yeah.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Phil. All right, so we've got Encountering Abba, which starts again this Thursday, the 20th of this month. Mike Wheeler is going to be facilitating prophetic boot camp, not prophetic book camp, which that's my misspelling on here, but which would also be fun too. But prophetic boot camp with Mike Wheeler—that's a Patricia King course. It's awesome. If you have, how many have been through prophetic boot camp? Number of you have, and you know how good it is. So that's going to meet some Monday nights, some Wednesday night. Some Thursday nights here, and that starts on Monday night, the 24th of September. So mark your calendars for that. Again, you can pick this up. They're out in the foyer on the main table. Deanne Brenstein is going to be facilitating Authentic Christianity. That's a course with Ryan Wyatt. A number of you have been through that before as well, and it's an awesome, awesome course. Ina and I did it about a year ago, and we're still remembering things from it. If you have just taken Genesis class, then either the Ryan Wyatt class with Deanne or the Patricia King class with Mike would be your next step. So that would be the next recommended step. Both of those courses meet on the same nights. So they run both Monday nights and Thursday nights. And then Lawrence is going to be teaching a new class in the School of Business and Marketplace Ministry, the Kingdom Culture of Finance. Kingdom Culture of Finance. Lawrence, can you just say a... Well, I I may help him out a little bit with that. But Lawrence wants to say a word, just a brief word about that class.
Well, we've been experiencing a lot of breakthrough in the area of finances. We've been hearing testimonies about the property and all of these things going on. And one of the next steps is knowing, you know, how to carry that forward. You know, when you get momentum in something, you want to be able to learn how to carry it and steward it properly. So we're going to be learning about, you know, how to cause a shift in an atmosphere, not only in finance specifically, but in business in general, and knowing how to steward the things that the Lord has put in front of us. So we're going to be talking a lot about, you know, the things that the Lord places in front of us, how to carry those into the next season of our lives, and how to build momentum and carry that going forward. So,
thanks, Lawrence. And that meets Monday nights, and that does not start up until October, late October. So you can take both Encountering Abba and Lawrence's finance course because they will not run concurrently. And then lastly, the School of Media and Creative Arts, not least but certainly last, is video production. Dylan Williams and Andy Summers are going to put together a course, a hands-on how-to course for putting together videos, a lot of promotional material of various ministries here. If you're interested in that, see Dylan or Andy after church today. So once again, pick one of these up as you go. If you would like to apply to be a part of Frontline Training Center, see me briefly after church or go to online and you'll find all the information there. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. Sin, do you want to say a few words about the new kickoff for the children, the new classes?
Well, today for Kingdom Kidland, we are kicking off a new season in that. And as mentioned earlier, we had a great meeting on Thursday of imparting the vision and the heart that the Lord's taking us to take that momentum that Lawrence was talking about and taking it to the next level. So we have actually broken down age groups a little bit more, so your child might be in a different room this time around. The old nursery is now going to be the 3 and 4 year old group class. The far room at the end is the new 0 to 2 group classroom. Next to it is the 5 year olds through first grade. And then we're actually utilizing the back rooms back here. on this side up in the upper room is our junior high and middle school class. Back here directly behind the stage is our 4th, 5th, and 6th grade class, sorry. And then back here is our 2nd and 3rd grade. So we're growing, we're expanding, there's more kids, there's more momentum, and so we've decided to do that to be more, effective and more, able just to share the love with them. So it's gonna be an awesome time, but I believe everybody's gonna group out here, and then the teachers will divide you up and take you to your places. Am I missing anything, Joe or Ashley or Michelle? Yes. And if I can have Joe, Ashley, Michelle just stand up and wave so that people can see. Joe is going to be overseeing, has been, and will continue to oversee the primary side of life. Ashley is overseeing the rooms back here, and then Michelle Oliver is overseeing the junior high and middle school. So if you have any questions or if you're new, these would be the women to talk to and get answers regarding those appropriate age groups. Okay, so every Sunday we're just going to meet in the lobby area of the church and then the teachers will take their children to their classrooms. All right, so if you can just dismiss them.
We're close. We don't know the exact number, but it's about 45 people. 44, am I right, Joe, on that? 44, 45 people who are involved in the teaching and the assistant 45. Helping.
Yeah, it is.
45. That's amazing. It really is. So there's a real intentional thrust for little children. That's why I really wanted to make a point. Say what I said about worship. It's a big deal. How many are tracking with me on this for children? Huh? Serious deal. So let's look together. Let's pray for all the children. I'm going to pray before they all leave. So teachers, don't leave yet. You're in this. Okay? But Lord, we just lift up this year. We lift up what you're doing, Lord. We thank you that you are extremely specific and intentional about what you want us to do as your lovers, as your servant lovers for our children. And I thank you, Lord God, for the upgrade that we are experiencing right now. Thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you that each one is experiencing your hand of protection and blessing on them. And Lord, as they're dismissed to go into kingdom land, all the way up to junior high, right before high school, Lord, we thank you that you've got a specific plan for these children, and it's mighty. And Lord, we as parents, as friends, as grandparents, as facilitators here, and teachers and instructors, Lord, we stand for what you desire to accomplish for these kids, and we take that mandate seriously. So we thank you, Lord, that it's with joy in our heart that we choose to release the children and we say, Lord, get them. Just get them. Overpower them so they can really be frightening to the gates of hell as worshipers in spirit and in truth who are grounded in the power and the word of God. Amen? Bye, kids. See you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And we'll have next week we'll have a flyer that explains the details a little bit more of where kids are going and such. We just couldn't quite get to it with all the things happening in our world right now. It's a lot. I'm excited. Very, very excited about what the Lord's doing. I listened to the message from last week. Very specifically, to see what the Lord wanted to do, as I had felt, Lord, do you want part two? And he spoke to me and said, it'll really be part three. There was so much last week that was released. I highly encourage you to listen to it, and think about what the Lord is saying. And there, wow, that's so nice. And then this will kind of piggyback what happened last week. But this is about stewarding the increase of what God is doing, because there is an increase going on in each one of our lives. It might not look like somebody else's, but boy, I tell you, God is so serious about us, and we're doing our best, so to speak, to just say, Lord, what is this supposed to look like? When we stepped into this, Pastor Bill and I just said, God, we so want to know what the word steward means. We know what the Webster Dictionary definition would be. But we want to know, what does it mean to steward what you're doing here? Give us your spiritual eyes. Increase the capacity of our heart so that we would really make wise decisions hearing from you, that we would be able to navigate carefully and clearly through waters that might be smooth, might be turbulent. But when you are at the helm, which you are, these waters are not only passable, but Lord, we're going to go to a place that we've not seen before in these waters. We don't just want to remain upright. We want to explore and see exactly why we're in the deep waters and what those deep waters look like and how ultimately it will affect nations. So we're very excited about that, about the international impact that the Lord is speaking to each one of us about, whether we're hearing him or not. He is speaking to us about that. And so distraction is a key component in our quest in moving forward to try to say, Lord, I don't want to fall prey to whatever that might look like for me personally, individually. What does that look like? I want to go to another level. I want to understand what that word, I know the word distraction. I know I don't have to define it. We're all intelligent people here. But I think God wants to define it for us, what he says it means, so we can track with him. I mean, that's kind of the bottom line. That's the simplicity of this. And he's saying, I want you to know me so well. I want you to flow with me. I want you to be grounded in my word. I want you to be able to discover what I'm saying. I want to create in you a hunger, for the capacity of your heart to be enlarged. It's not just going to happen. It's going to happen as we continuously just say, Lord, I'm going after you. I'm going after you. And then it's his responsibility. He relentlessly pursues us, which, by the way, is a conference that we're having. It's going to be amazing. With five speakers, Pastor Bill and I, Mel Tari, Michelle Perry, and Pastor Jose Novella of Mozambique. That's October 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th. It's a big deal. It's something new for this region. It's something new for this place. And the Lord's wanting to do something brand new. So having said that, mark that on your calendars because there may be some changes that you might need to take care of to participate and help as well. So last week, when I was speaking about Solomon and David and attempting to connect Solomon and David's life, what I did speak about that, to the passage in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 through 34, I believe what the Lord wanted to impart to us, not that we're looking for one theme, one bottom line, but if we were to think of it that way, I believe the Lord wanted to simplify the fact that he's giving us example after example after example from the beginning of time to show us that he is it, to show us that our devotion to him is of first priority and paramount in our life, not something that we haven't heard before, but what that looks like for each one of us is the new. And the Lord wants to develop that, and he wants to develop that quickly. He wants us to take the aspects of his nature. When I was teaching Bible years ago, I used to teach a course called Attributes of God. And back in the day, what I taught was good, I'm sure. But I'll tell you what, how I know him now as compared to how I knew him then has so increased because that's the nature of God. And that's a good thing. The nature of God, his attributes, his character, who he is, are so profound that he gives us the privilege of discovering more and more and more and more what he looks like, who he is, how he moves. And the greater impact that it has on us propels us forward to be able to continue pushing through. So the Israelites, as I mentioned earlier, they could push through. Can you imagine how they felt when they saw the sea parted? From what I've read, it could have been up to a mile in width, give or take some dimensions, depending on who you read. But the Lord's telling us very clearly that it's my idea and I'm going to do it, but I've got a plan and you've got to follow me. In fact, before the Israelites actually camped, before the big exodus, so to speak, which is what it was, the Lord actually had them move back a little bit and kind of go around the barn again as an indicator to their enemies that maybe they were just lost or confused. Can you imagine? God's so smart. He's the ultimate strategist. He says, I know what I'm doing. So he takes this mass of people, a million people or more or less, depending on, again, who you talk to. God says, I'm going to take these people and I'm going to put them somewhere and it's going to look very specific. I have a plan and it's going to be for them and it's going to be for you in 2012 and it's going to make a difference in your life at college, Cameron. It's going to make a difference in your life, Jamie, leading worship. It's going to make a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in your life, Amber, as you move into your new place. It'll make a difference. These things that we talk about make a difference because each person is different. And Kim, I know you. I just looked, but the Lord said, go right to her. So that's what I did. That's why. Just so you know. I said, okay, Lord. All right, it's her. Okay, these are not just random things to make a good message. The Lord is very intentional. He's very specific. And he's very directive. It's like, directive? I don't want that in my life. What do you mean, directive? Don't tell me what to do. Well, it's God. He can tell me what to do. Okay, sorry. Don't let anybody else tell me what to do. But he was very specific, very, very, very specific about his instructions. And so he actually had this humongous angel that was leading the brigade as well. And he had that angel just kind of position himself or herself, an angel of the Lord, between the people, the Israelites, and also the Egyptian army. And of course, there as well. And this was happening at night. So all through, imagine, there's all kinds of blowing because it says the breath of God blew the waters apart. What the heck? And there's light that's emanating from this cloud of fire. It's amazing. And that light is letting the Egyptians know, hello, I'm God and you're not. And letting the people know, I'm God and you're not. Just do what I say. If you don't do what I say, then things won't go so well for you. But do what I say. Don't retreat. So Moses led the brigade, and we know the story, and we know the account. We know that the rod was up, he put his staff up, and they went. And, you know, it's very interesting to read the passage over and over and over again, because there's new rhema information, there's new revelation from the passage of Scripture, that, because God designed it that way. And I encourage you to do it with fresh eyes. When you studied it when you were a little child in school, maybe, or when you came into the kingdom later, and that was one of the first things you heard, that God parted the Red Sea. It's like, huh? It's a major miracle, even spoken of in the Scriptures as a miracle. And so the Lord wants us to know that this is something that you can hang your hat on, but it's only a picture of what's going on for what I'm doing in your life right now. I mean, come on, how many Red Seas have we had parted? I think we have some. Come on. And the Lord says, I want you to be able to identify what I did in the natural for these people, saving their life, backing them up, telling them, move, go forward. I created you to advance. I'm an advancing God. I'm a multiplying God. I'm an accelerating God. That's what I said last week. That's what he spoke through me. I'm speaking it again because God wants us to see that. If we listen to these words and then we jot them down and we say, okay, where am I not accelerating? That's a negative thing. I'd rather do it the other way and say, where am I accelerating? I think it's a more positive approach, because that's how the Lord dealt with the Israelites. But they were looking at what I don't have. I don't have enough food. I used to see meat in pots. I used to see bread baked. Come on. Moses, what were you thinking? You took me out of this deal and I'm going to die here. At least, even if I was in bondage and slavery, at least I had food. All right, I got to deal with them again. And the Lord, just so lovingly and so kind, said, I'll show you how big I am. I did part the Red Sea, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to biggie size that for you, because your bellies are aching and you're thirsty. I'm going to lead you to a place where there's water. Oh, the water is, oh, it's bitter. Doggone it. What are we going to do with that? I can't drink. Hey, Moses, go get a branch. Go get a part of a tree. It says a tree. Throw it in, and the water turns sweet. Amazing. The water of life was given to them for physical sustenance, but also for the spiritual life. But I'm used to having meat. Come on. He says, all right, birds, let's go. I'm going to release birds for you, and they're going to be taking care of you at night. Okay, so you're going to have birds flying, and then you can eat their meat. Isn't that wonderful? And in the morning when you wake up, you can have your bread too, because I'm the bread of life. You just don't know that yet. And there'll be this dew on the ground with this coriander-like seed substance, very flaky, like a light snowfall. You can see it everywhere. They enjoyed this delicacy for 40 years. 40 years! It's a long time. Quail in the sky. Nice. And yet they had some meat in their pots. And the Lord took care of all of these things, and they still, and you know the account, they still had a hard time. And Moses is saying, God, what are you trying to do, kill me? Yes. Oh, I didn't mean that way. Yes, that's the idea. He's trying to kill us, oh, to raise us to new life, but in a good way. And he's saying, these things that we're hearing, let's put them into practice. Let's do something with them. Let's worship the Mighty One. And if we don't feel stirred up, we're going to jump in and we're going to worship anyway, because our life is worship before the Lord. It's not something we must stir up. It's something that we do. Our lifestyle is worship. The Lord says, I created my Israelites to worship me. I created Solomon, David, to worship me as king. He messed up some things in his life, but he became the great king with a heart like none other, who followed after the Lord, even though he sinned against God. He did repent, and he got his life back on track. He never pushed the Lord away. He really didn't. He was very weak. He didn't deny the Lord. He sinned against the Lord. I'm not saying that's a good thing. But he was brought into a place of saying, what was I thinking? And we want to be in that place. So with all that in mind, the Lord said, with David being who you are, David, and there's going to be, through your lineage, Jesus Christ is going to be on the throne. I'm going to make sure that that happens. That's my plan. I got my people out of Egypt. Things are going to happen. Things are going to change. So I've got you now, David, and you're a man after my own heart. And I love that about you, Scripture says. Well, Solomon comes along, and he's the one that the Lord decides that he's going to charge to build the temple, which we talked about last week. So it took him 7 years, but he took it really seriously. Why? He came from David, but he also loved God very much. He loved him. He loved him. Scripture says that he really loved him. So that was exciting to me, and I was sharing that with you last week of how he loved him and how wonderful things were going initially for him. And if you remember last week, I just shared a little bit about what it looked like for that temple to be built, what God's intention was. But he gave many offerings to the people, to Moses, to all the Israelites up to that point, then to David, to Solomon. If you will follow me, if you will keep my commandments and my statutes and my testimony and observe my ways, if you will do these things, then things will go well for you, because nothing will come and hinder you, because you're my kids and I love you and you're my family and I want you to be okay. Even though you don't have me living on the inside. So we know that that's true. It's like, okay. And I live under a better covenant. Yes, yes, yes. Holy Spirit lives in me. Yes, yes, yes. But the Lord says, take a look at these guys and their lives and what happened. What was the progression? Because there's a reason why we can look back and say, this is what happened in 1 Kings 3, 4, 5, 6, or Exodus 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 14, 16. We can go through all the scriptures. I was up most of the night last night just reading. I tried to sleep. I couldn't sleep. Had about an hour. That was it. I only tell you that because the charge for me was to commune with him. It's like, oh, all right. Oh, we had some good laughter about that. But it went on and on and on and on and on the rest of the night. It's like, wow, what were you thinking, God? Well, I parted the Red Sea. I wonder if any of those people were sleeping all night. Watching that one, I don't know. And that's not why, I mean, I don't know what he was thinking, but I know I was up and just searching the scriptures and reading and talking to him and walking around and you know, almost as like a weather vane. What's going on? What's happening here? Bring it to my mind. Bring it to my spirit right now. Bring it. Bring it right now so that I can intercede, so I can intervene, so I can do what I need to do. I'm an intercessor. I'm a watchman. Oh, yeah, I have to preach tomorrow. Yeah. No, I'm an intercessor. I'm a watchman. I care. Huh? I care about what you're saying and doing at the moment. Anything else is secondary. That's where I want to be. I'm not saying I'm always tracking with that. That's my heart. Okay, David tried. He failed miserably at one point, and you know that, a couple of points, and then the Lord restored him. But the good news about David is he finished fairly well. Solomon, on the other hand, who had all of this going before him, who had the legacy of his father David, Solomon built this temple. It was magnificent, which I did highlight. You didn't hear any negatives last week. I'm just going to add a little portion to it. As Solomon continued to reign as the king, things changed a little bit. He succumbed, really, to a lot of difficulties in his life. He succumbed to all the concubines and to the wives that he brought into his life. Polygamy never is sanctioned as a good thing, but there is tradition, and that's what happened. The Lord is very much wanting us to stay married. People stay married and marry one person and stay married and all of that. That's the desire of the heart of the Lord. So we have all this going on, which seems to be what many kings did, but it really didn't work out well for him at all. And a concubine, in case you don't know, it's a legal wife. It's just a secondary wife. So you can have as many as you want, depending on where you are. So he had a bunch, but the problem for him, in addition to not just tracking with wife-o number 10, His deal was he partnered with what they carried. He partnered with the distractions that live on the inside of them. And it got to the point where he embraced Ashtra, who is a goddess, is a goddess, you know, it's a demon thing, is a goddess, and that this is a false god, and this is a goddess who is all about trying to draw people to worship the stars. Let's just make it, there's Ashtra poles, there's different things to talk about here, but the point being that spiritism was really rising now. Can you imagine? Here's King Solomon trying to do this really awesome thing. Bring this wonderful temple together. Put the Ark of the Covenant in there. And the Bible says that when the Ark was put in there that had the tablets and the bud and some of the manna, it was amazing what God did at that point. He said when the priests went in to the Holy of Holies, they couldn't even stand because the glory cloud was in there. The glory of God was in there. They couldn't even stand up. It was so powerful. And that's the Old Testament. What the heck? So Solomon witnessed all of this, but he partnered with what he felt was good. He partnered with something that was not good. And it started very slowly. It never started as, okay, now you've got this temple, and hey, here's a bunch of wives, and they're worshiping the stars. No, there was a slow draw, and there was an intentionality from the enemy to pull them apart and pull them together towards him. And so that's what happened. And he got to the point where he actually was speaking to the Israelites and encouraging them to worship this goddess and other goddesses and gods as well. Little g, by the way. And so it was really, really a problem for God. You're not listening to me. There's going to be a consequence. So here's the deal. The kingdom that you're overseeing is going to be taken out of your hand. But I'm not going to do it through you. It's going to be through the next line. You know, you had a pretty good deal tracking with David, your father. You had a good model. You inherited a lot of good things. There was an upgrade for you. Yes, you were the one to build the temple. Now guard and steward that upgrade better. Better than David guarded what he did. Think about that. That's the mandate. Better. So that's why I make the statements as I would make about the children. I mean, they are so important. It doesn't mean that we aren't. But I'm telling you, God is serious right now with our little kiddies. And he's saying, come on. Come on, church. Model together. Unity. In the greatest unity, there's power released. And he says, we're calling all hands on deck. That means everybody. Let's go. Let's go. And it's a holy push, but it's a push from heaven because he's different. So David caught a glimpse of this because he charged Solomon to walk faithfully before the Lord. He learned his lesson, and Solomon then took a big dive. Well, it was a big deal. And the Lord said that I'm not going to take and rip the kingdom out from under you, Solomon. I'm going to wait till the next generation. So revival was killed again. The Lord says, hey, you're in revival. You're in the beginning stages of revival. What do you think? What does that mean to you? Is it important to you? Can you see it? Can you see? If you can see that, you can have that. If you want to understand that, we're going to be speaking more about revival, what it looks like, and moving. But in addition to speaking, we're experiencing. When the rain comes down, watch out. Nothing can stop the hand of the Lord. So for Solomon, he did not finish well. Scripture doesn't tell us that he got it right and turned his life around. In fact, the kingdom that he governed for 40 years, 40 years, interesting number, the kingdom that he governed for 40 years was split. And the Lord said, you know, my Jesus is coming. I already know that. Yes, even before he came. I know that, and so there needs to be lineage from David so that he can be of the house of David. So I'm going to take care of things. So I'm going to split this up. So one of the tribes is going to be one that will carry the DNA of David. But the rest I'm going to give to somebody else. I'll give one to your son, Rehoboam. And the rest I'm going to give to Jeroboam. And so there was the division of the north and the south. But you see, there was that slow burn that started with Solomon. It started there. God didn't want that. And when that kingdom split, like that. Do you know that many years later, both or all areas, the North and the Southern Kingdoms, the Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom, they were taken into captivity. The Babylonian captivity for the South and the Assyrian captivity for the North. That's not a good thing. Didn't God just bring them out of Egypt? Didn't he just do that? When we take for granted anything that the Lord has done for us, something happens. If we don't guard and we don't steward what has happened to us personally or what we see, it gives the inroad for the enemy to come and slowly pull. That's what he does. That's his nature. That's his job. Destroy revivalists. Destroy worshipers. Destroy, destroy, destroy. That's his job. Okay, fine. So we keep worshiping, and we know that that's where our victory is, and that's a good thing. So when we're all encouraging one another, the Lord is saying, I'm happy about that. It's really good. You're learning from the Old Testament. Ah. But Lord, the New Testament says, you will love me. You shall love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And you will love your neighbor and more than you, and more than you will love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, there's a push, there's an upgrade. The Lord told us through those two simple commandments that encompass everything, everything in the Old Testament. He told us it's going to be very, very unusual for you. If you can jump in to commandment number one instead of commandment number two, trying to put that as number one, things will go much better for all of us individually as far as acceleration, as far as intensity, as far as propelling us forward, accuracy, oh my goodness, multiplication. The momentum of the Spirit will be so strong that we won't even be able to keep up with it in the natural. We're just gonna be taken like this. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. That's God's intent. That's what he's doing. He's saying, so if it's hard for us to just come and worship with all abandon, you don't have to jump as I jump. You can if you want to. But I'm saying if we cannot, or something keeps us from, we don't want to blame it on the weather, the time, or the structure. We don't want to do that. That's not a smart thing to do. What the Lord wants us to do is press and push forward so that we step into that which was given to us. Oh my. Because if we don't, then it will be, well, I'll just get carried along. It doesn't work like that. The enemy is too slick, he thinks. He will target. He will say, this one right here. I can see the distraction working. I don't mean that for you, okay? You're just a human right here. I'm touching you. But that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. That's his job. He has to do that. He's doing that in our children. He's doing that in us. He's doing that. He's trying. So, we want to be happy campers, and what we want to do is see what God sees. And that's the draw. The Lord says, I'm drawing you. I'm drawing you. I'm drawing you. I'm drawing you. Okay? So when we say, hey, I shall love you, you told me that's a commandment. Yes, I designed you to love me. I designed you to respond to me. I designed your children to prophesy when they're very small. I designed your kids to be filled with the Spirit. I designed your kids to be worshipers. I can't make that happen, God. You're right. But I care so much about my children. I know. I'm not even speaking to them. I'm speaking to you. You see, this is what the point is of discussing David and Solomon. And they had their deal between father and son. David was no, you know, he made mistakes. But he still didn't leave God. Well, my child would never leave God. My grandchild would never leave God. It's not going to happen. We're raised in a good church, good family, good home. Look what I'm trying. Scripture says, train them up and they'll be great. Train them up in the way they should go and they won't depart from it. Proverbs 6. That's true. But did you ever look that scripture up and think about it? Go, whoa, wait a minute here. What's that mean? Train up a child in the way he will go and he will not depart from it. In the way he should go. In the way he should go. in the way he should go, in the way he should go. If you're crazy, radical, wild, guess who will follow you? You see? It's a modeling thing. It's not just saying, well, let's get him in the best program. The program won't do it. It's not a program. It's a relational thing in the spirit that God's giving us a key to how it works. He says, I'm going to show you generationally. It's not that programs aren't good. I'm all about it. Okay, let's have good kingdom programs here for young and older. But God is very serious right now, and he's saying, I want you to hear my words for you so that you will posture yourself. All right, let's go. This is what I want. I want to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. You told me it's the greatest, and it shall happen. It needs to happen. And the word increase was really highlighted last week, and I just want to bring it up again because God says that you reap what you sow. Huh? Wait a minute. Whoa, you're getting into money stuff here. No. I'm speaking about end time seed and harvest. And when the Lord says, when you plant, I will water. What you sow, you will reap. And I will bring a great increase if you understand how my principles work. I'm going to be led by principles. That won't work either. What? This is confusing. It's not. He said, for those who want to be led by the cloud by day, the pillar by night. Did I say that right? Yes. Pillar of fire. Fire, yeah. I was going to sing it here because that's a good song. But, yeah, you will. If that's our goal, that's you and I right there. Come on, let's go. Do you know that we can feel closer? Can you imagine seeing that all the time? All the time. You don't need street lights or anything. I mean, this is crazy. God's got this already taken care of. And he's so serious. And he says, this is all the time. In fact, I'm going to make it so simple for you that he's going to live on the inside. He's going to be inside. He's going to be inside. Inside. He's closer than anything, anyone, any person. He's worthy of our life. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy. His blood is so strong. His blood will take us right to that. Mark chapter 12. 30 through 34, okay? He'll take us right there and say, come on, come on, come on. His blood will propel you. His blood will move you. Oh, his blood shed for us enables us to say, that's the yes I want. I'm not going to be scared about what's going to happen to my kids. I'm just going to fall in love with you, whatever it takes. And then I will model such power and such presence, it will spill as the children are trying to navigate all of the distractions. And we have our own distractions. So he's speaking to us. The Lord was speaking to David. And then David spoke to Solomon. And then Solomon spoke to Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And things weren't going well. It's kind of scary. But it's not. It's scary if we don't have the Lord going, hey, I'm on your side. Come on, look what I did. Look what I did. Look what I did. So back to what I was saying before. We need to continue to guard. If I'm going to be a good steward, call yourself a steward. I am a steward. I'm going to steward who I am inside, what I know, what I've seen, what I hear. I'm going to steward that well, steward that wisely. I'm going to steward it. That means I'm going to get a handle from heaven on what this looks like so that I don't give any room for the enemy to come and slightly even drop a thought that could stick that says God is not really, really, really amazingly great and good. If we ever entertain that he's not who he is, that he's not really good, if we entertain that, which is what Solomon did, okay, that opens the door. Whoosh. Thank you. That is the entrance point. Now we can make it look pretty, make it look 2012-ish. Well, here's what's happening here, and this is what this is going on in my life, or this family's doing. You know, some of you don't even have kids, but it's still our responsibility, okay? The Lord is saying, we are here intentionally to deposit what has already been given to us. in our account. Huh? What does that mean? Last week I talked about having an account from heaven. And the Lord says, go make a withdrawal, would you? I mean, gosh, I did that for you. It's just going to sit in there. You've got all kinds of things in there to work for you. Much more than Solomon, much more than David, much more than Moses, much more. But go withdraw. Learn how to withdraw. Have a desire to withdraw. What does that mean? The benefits of being a believer are so many and so strong. The Lord says, come on, smarten up. I already did this for you so that you can then deposit yourself. You take and then you deposit. So what you do, take out, boom, and give it away. Receive from the account and then give it away. Receive from our loving Father and then give it away. And as we step into that and say, yes, 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 we'll be standing at the sink doing dishes, thinking about these things. And we'll say, okay, Lord, you're speaking to me right now about what I'm going to watch on TV, or if I'm going to watch TV, or if I'm going to react to my child, or whatever it would be, you know, our life. And say, Lord, I've already determined that this is my focus. That is my focus. Number one, love you with all. And you know what that does for all of our feelings and emotions? It puts them over here and guards our spirit. Our spirit then is able to move forward. Our spirit is able to press through the most difficult. And when we have a lot of struggles, it's because that assurance that we have that God is good starts to waver a bit, becomes a little shaky. A little bit shaky. I don't have a rope. I'll just use one of these little banner things, ribbons. Okay, Michael, come here. Just grab the end of this, would you? At the very end. Okay, let's make it nice and strong. Hold on to it. Nice and strong. Now, I spoke about a rope last week, and I had a picture of what that might look like. Okay, so I am going to be God for this one, and Michael's going to be who Michael is, which is a lover of Jesus, which is good. Okay? All right, Michael, no, don't pull too hard. Okay? This guy's got muscles. I can see them. My goodness. Okay. all right, so I am leading him. Now, Michael, you are wanting to go that direction, so your face will turn that way, but not your body. There you go. Just your face. Okay. All right, so he's got his face turned that way. All right, he's wanting to go that direction, and he's wondering if it's okay with me. All right? So he's looking back at me, and then he's looking away. He's not sure. He's just totally confused. He's back and forth, looking at me, looking back, looking at me and looking back, looking at me and looking back, okay? And it's very, very strong here. He's not sure. He's not sure. If he takes that step to go that direction, he's just really not sure, is it going to be okay? Okay, he's going to try, but he keeps looking at me, and it gets tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. Okay, now, you can relax a minute. And now we're going to get a little bit closer. Now, you can see that this lovely ribbon is not taut. It's very loose and easy. Okay? Now, Michael, you want to turn that direction? Okay? Do you see some things that you want to accomplish with the Lord and for the Lord? Okay? You're just wonderful. It's preparation for missions. I'm telling you, that's what we do. Okay. So, we're just going to kind of walk together here. We're just going to talk to each other. How are you? I'm fine. How are you?
Fabulous.
Yeah, fabulous. Good. How's everything going for you?
Bueno. Doing good.
Really good? Are you okay? That's good. Are you happy?
Yeah, very.
Are you in love with the Lord?
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Okay. Thank you. That's all you need. All right? Let him sit down. And so the idea is that the strength of that, that taut feeling of, hold on to me, I'm really not sure. I know you're there because the scripture says so, and I am a Christian, so I have to believe it, but I'm really not believing it because I'm really not trusting. I'm not so sure that you really are as good as you say you are, or faithful, merciful, just. What if you don't show up? What if you don't provide? What if, what if, what if, what if? Okay? But as number one, loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, starts to kick in for us, takes us to another place. the position of where the Lord is different. There's more of a camaraderie, there's more of a partnership, and there's more of the assurance, even as we're going forward, because the Lord's always moving. The Lord wants us to move. He wants us to move, and he wants us to move with him. He's very, very smart. And so many times we will move like little turtles, crossing the road, and the Lord's saying, that's not how I designed you. I designed you as a speed locomotive train, a speed train. I designed you as an eagle. I designed you. That doesn't mean that you don't wait, because you wait for me and be patient for me. But that doesn't mean that you're slow in responding to me. You see, that's where the slowness comes in. And when we're slow in responding to the Lord, when he's talking, I mean, he talked to the Israelites. I mean, he gave them streetlights. Come on. He was talking all the time, 24/7, dreams and visions. All right? When that happened, when that increased, there was a change. So that's what the Lord wants for us. He really does. And he wants us to think about this one and say, how do I look at you? Am I just wanting just the assurance you're really there? It's really okay. I can't take this situation. It's more than I can take. It's awful. Okay, what do I do? How do I get out of it? I just feel horrible. Well, you probably have just been shot, voom, 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 by the one who loves to target each one of us to see where our weaknesses will be, where our hindrances will be, what our lifestyle might look like, where there might not be a lot of Jesus in it. I'm a Jesus lover. I pray and fast and I do and I do and I do. Yes. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a partner, someone who is very, very close to the Lord, who knows when to say no, who knows when what God is doing, who can see and feel what's happening in the Spirit, who can take what's going on and say, I'm tracking with you. I'm tracking with you. I'm tracking with you. So worship will look like something. When the Israelites finally started to get it right, they always had something else to complain about. They didn't realize the strength of the enemy of their soul. But more than that, they didn't realize and they didn't receive the strength of the lover of their soul. Final example, just to highlight again, and then we're going to close, because I believe God, I'm trusting that many of you heard this message last week, and these are some new things to consider on top of them. But I also mentioned that briefly, that Solomon had a situation come before him because he was given a gift of wisdom. And the gift of wisdom came from God, and he said, you, there's not going to be a man who's wiser than you before or even after. How about that? So in other words, world, pay attention. Pay attention. He's my kingdom man on the spot. He doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to develop that in him. And I'm going to put him in situations where everyone in the world, the leaders in the world, are going to be drawn to him, which is what the scripture said. They wanted to see what made him tick. Why did he dance differently than them spiritually? Why? What was the difference? Why? How could he make these kinds of decisions? Oh, yes. How could he have so much wealth? But you see, he pushed through. And God said, I am going to give you the spoils. I'm going to give you the wealth and the riches. I'm going to give that which you really weren't asking for. You were asking me, how do I steward what's going on? That's what he asked. He asked for wisdom, maybe not understanding revival, but he asked for that. He said, how do I steward? What do I do? How do I steward what you've deposited in me, in my account? You have deposited in me the propensity to be able to judge my people well. I love the people. I love them so well. Well, you might have somebody good who's able to govern because they're making some good decisions. You might see some good things, but the Lord says, for you believer, for you Christian, you need to see what's underneath. You need to see what's going on. It doesn't mean that we say those are bad decisions. They might be good decisions. An unbeliever might make a good decision, but we need to know what's happening underneath, what's going on in the spirit, what's happening. Because what does the enemy want to do? To trip anybody up. Anybody. Especially an unbeliever to keep them from Jesus, but a believer to keep them from becoming who we're describing today. Okay? So Solomon said, God, you're giving me this wisdom. How cool. And they had this conversation back and forth. Well, I'm going to give you a chance to practice it. But because he loved the Lord, number one, he really did. That's what the scripture said. He had a capacity to really love the people. So his decisions and his judgments were wise. Do you see? What God gave him inside from the Lord, all credit and glory to him, energized him to be able to step in. But only if he loved the Lord with everything inside. That was the beginning of it. So the Lord was graceful and released the wisdom with the qualification. Hey, you better steward this well. You better guard what I have deposited in you. You better guard that. You better. Or you're going to let the enemy into your life. And it's not going to go well for you and generations after you. We're right there with our own election in our country right now. The Lord's so serious about this. We talked a lot about this and we prayed fervently and fire in a fire way through the night about this. I pray that we'll have another opportunity and that everyone will be here before the election. We'll see what we can do because I tell you, our prayers are powerful. Solomon lost sight, as we said. When he was tracking with the Lord, even though there was some pulling away, because it said he was sacrificing, but if there was any mixture in there with who he partnered with his wives or concubines, you know that slow burn began. The Lord says, I want you to identify where did that slow burn start for any of us. If we are not fiery on crazy, and I'm stronger today than I was last week. Stronger, I'm accelerating, I'm going up, even with issues, even with problems, even with challenges. That's not the point. It's in here. It's the heart in here. What's really happening? That's what he's calling forth right now. So when Solomon was with the two women, you know the story. Some of you weren't here. I'll just really quickly. Two women lived together, had newborn babies. Okay, one of them was killed because one woman rolled over on her baby because they were all sleeping together. She was so desperate and so shrewd and cunning. She was desperate and she was fearful. She said, I need that other baby that's still alive. I'm going to swap them. Every mother knows her baby, for heaven's sakes. But they went to Solomon because that's my baby. No, that's my baby. No, that's my baby. No, your baby's dead. No, that was your baby. So there's this big squabble. So he decides he's going to challenge. But the reason he was able to give a good, wise answer is because he was in love with the Lord. Very much so, first and foremost. And he was filled with compassion for people as a result. Commandment number two, if you will. But still imperfectly, the Spirit of God didn't live in him. Imagine that. Imagine what could be. What could be in the area of wisdom, revelation, understanding, finances, creativity. Can you imagine what this place could look like in a very short period of time? Can you imagine multitudes absolutely on fire where they can't even believe that God is wrecking them as they are and going out and doing great exploits for the Lord? Can you see it? Does it matter to you? Does it even trigger anything inside? The truth of these things, this is what the Lord says will happen on the inside. We won't be able to contain it. It's like no one winds us up and says, go. It'll be a Spirit of God rising up going, yes, that's you. Yes, that's you. Some of you have had words that have been spoken over you that are really cool, but they've been disregarded, filed away, put in a trash bin, put in the back drawer in the bedroom somewhere, or things that God has told you, something good. He's really good. And he says, anytime we don't remember, anytime that we forget, which Solomon did, we give the handle, the door, and the address to the enemy. And we become dull. Dull. Well, I'm a really nice person. I have meetings and I bake cookies and I do lots for my grandkids or kids or whatever it would be. I do all these wonderful things. I can dance. I can worship. I can play an instrument even up here. I mean, I'm ready. My schedule is ready. Lord says, I don't care about your schedule. I'm looking at your heart. Whoa. See, this is where we are. And that's what he's saying. He says, if you hear it, you're responsible for it. See? If you hear it and you guard it and go, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for me? It's time for the upgrade. And it's easier than you think. If you think it's hard, it's because the enemy has also come on this side and said, you've tried so hard, it couldn't possibly be. She's a little crazy, you know. You need more time. That is the truth. That is how wicked the enemy is. And also how scared of you guys he is. He's so scared. This is an amazing group of people. We pray for you diligently. It's like, oh. Diligently. It's like, these people. Oh my gosh, God, why? Why are they here? Couldn't find another place. I don't think so. And so to sum it up, we're going to pray here. The worship team can join us. We're just going to sum it up here. When Solomon made the decision, let's just cut this baby in half. And of course, the compassionate, truthful woman said, no, she gave her all. She said, you know what? Don't do that. Even if you don't believe me that that's my kid, it's okay. It's okay. It's really okay. You take the baby. You raise the baby. You do it. Because of love, I'm giving the most important part of me, and that's the child I birthed. That is me. It's an extension of me. It's a picture of Jesus. Jesus said, and the fathers, I'm giving the most valuable to you. That's who Jesus is. If we take that for granted, ever, we need to come back quickly and change. No more. No more. Because it's so, so vital right now. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. You're hearing this. It's for your ears. It's for my ears. For all the people that are away for the Labor Day weekend, they'll listen to it, I hope. And I hope just, oh, grabbed in the heart. Because this is a new day. A new day. Wow. Oh. The Lord's enabled me to feel something very strong on the inside right now. It's for every person. He's changing us right now. He's changing me. It's an honor to hold this thing. And so I invite you, I really invite you to do something with this message. Because I know it's significant. I know it's significant. When Pastor Bill was leading worship on Tuesday, there was such a roar in the Spirit that there was a deliverance anointing that was so strong that people were getting set free of, we'll call them hindrances. It's a big deal. But anytime our thinking is somewhere other than in this moment, in this message, right now, then that's also a hindrance. Hindrance looks like whatever it looks like to you. And I really believe that he wants us to cry out to him for the more. There have been challenges about our grandparenting and our buddying and our parenting and all of our relational things, you know. Everybody does what they want. But the challenges are to take us into the upgrade that belongs to us. That's the challenge. But it will affect people beyond you and me. Quickly. It will affect the people that you're closest to. It will affect them because who you carry will change the atmosphere when you walk in a room. There will be a change. He's telling me to tell you that. All I hear from him, I'm just asking him, now what do you want me to do with this? All I'm hearing is, I just want them to worship me. I'll take care of the rest. Remember, I took care of my kids, parting the Red Sea. I took care of everything. I already know they grumble and complain. I already know they have fears. I already know their defenses to stand for whatever they do in their relationships. I already know all that. I want them, because when that in a new way, and when that occurs, how we do family, how we do finances, how we do relational things, that it will change, because we will be so close to hearing that voice. So we're going to sing what the Lord's putting on your heart. See what he does. So I'm going to invite you just to come and worship your heart out and agree with whatever you want to agree with. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a shift. There's already a shift happening. Just come on up. Just come on up.
See you. your protection. I'm lost in your peace. Your faithfulness sings over me. And your love is the light of my soul. And I lift my eyes to you, Creator of the world. And I stand in awe of you, of your glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Lord says the fire is for you. The fire is here and the fire is for you. He says step in. Don't let fear hold you down. Step in. Raise your arms to the King of Glory. Raise your arms in worship and adoration. Whoa. Lord says that fire is here. Take it. It's an upgrade for you. His eyes are on you. His eyes are on you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. Whoa. Yes, Lord. Nothing holds us back. We walk across that Red Sea. The waters are parted for us. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Keep singing. I see fear. Fear is falling to the ground. Fear is falling. Sing out to him. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Belief is falling. Unbelief is falling to the ground. It's falling. It's under your feet. Hallelujah, Lord. That's your cleansing, delivering fire. Oh. New sounds, Lord. New commissioning, Lord. All dullness, fall off, fall off. Yes, Lord. Angels are on assignment here. There's angels. They filled this room. They have filled this room. Oh. Oh. Yes, Lord. Let your glory move, Lord. Let your glory. Your glory fall, Lord God. You are worthy. You are worthy, oh God. You are worthy, King Jesus. Oh. Oh, we're moving, Lord. We're moving. He's taking you. If you felt stuck, he's taking you out. Even just take a step forward. Just in faith. Just in faith. Take a step. Thank you, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Wow. There's impartation from the Holy Spirit right now. He's imparting. He's saying, I know the desires. I know the desires. I have not been deaf to you. My ear is close. My partnership is real. Step in and believe. Dare to believe the impossible. Dare to believe the impossible for yourself and your family. Oh. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We love you, Lord, with everything inside. Wow. I see angels with swords all over this place. Hey. Hey. Oh, shake. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh. Yes, Lord. Cut it off. Cut it down. Shakaraba, Sarababa. Oh. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let the children hear. Let the children hear. Touch them. Yay. Lord. to somebody who's asking him a question, a very specific question. I believe he's saying to me, this is for you. I will. I will. Just believe it. If you've asked him a specific question, this involving whether he'll back you up, the Lord says, I will. I will. Wow. He'll do anything for world changers. He'll do anything for lovers. He'll do anything for those who lay their life down. He'll do anything for people who will give their all to love with all, to love with all, to love with all. He'll do anything. There's no limit. No limit. Oh, oh. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. All of it, Lord. All of it. All of it. Oh. Oh. Oh, Abba. Shakara Baba. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, we worship you. We thank you for the change today. And we thank you, Lord, that you have our back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. All I can do is lead and say thank you. Let's just lift our voices and thank him. Thank you, Lord, for your manifest presence. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for what you've begun. Thank you, Lord. You've not forgotten me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. Thank you for your miracles. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you all. Be encouraged and strengthened today. Ah. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, we have a good God. As you leave this place, you may be saying, now what do I do? Just spend time. Just worship him. Read his word. Spend time. Spend more time. And determine. Determine in your heart the things we've talked about today. Go after and confidently expect that the Lord is so gracious and is all about this for you. God bless you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord willing, we'll see you Tuesday. Oh. Those who have little children, you You may want to get them. When you're finished, if you're able to. God bless you all.